So every Friday afternoon, as part of our Ask Me Anything series, we put your questions to people from interesting backgrounds, working in unusual or maybe different professions and careers. Actually, if you've any suggestions, who would you like to ask questions of? Do let us know. Send them in to us on WhatsApp. But if you've ever wondered what it is like to sit in the tower and direct planes taking off and landing at Dublin Airport or any other airport in the world, I'm chatting to Gwen Morgan today, who works with Air Nav Ireland. She's the operations manager at Dublin Airport Air Traffic Control Centre. Good afternoon, Gwen. How are you?
Hi, Andrea. Are you well? I'm very good. Thank you very much.
We've lots of messages coming into you or for you now all week. 087 1400 106 is that WhatsApp number. Actually, send us in a voice note if you want. But I'm just thinking, like, when you're here with me today in studio, who's minding the planes?
We have a great team of air traffic controllers out of Dublin. We have almost 100 air traffic controllers. And
wow, okay.
Yeah, yeah. And that's in Dublin just alone. So we have them situated out at Dublin Airport where the high control tower is. But then in a separate centre down just outside Shannon Town in Ballycasey, we have another centre there where there are in excess of 100 controllers, and they control all of the aircraft that overfly Ireland, so from 25,000 feet and above. Whereas the controllers out at Dublin Airport control airspace or the skies, let's say, historically speaking, it's almost like a map of the Pale. So people will know that from history, the east of Ireland. So it's portioned off for Dublin traffic into and out of Dublin.
So Dublin air traffic controllers mind Dublin and Shannon's minding what's going on in the sky.
Exactly.
The clouds, literally,
Shannon is minding traffic that's going into the regional airports and also traffic that's going into Cork Airport and Shannon Airport and stuff that's flying over. So all the transatlantic stuff that's coming from Europe going to America and vice versa, that's done down in Ballycasey and Shannon.
How did you get into this?
So I did an arts degree in Irish and geography.
Sorry, no, I did an arts degree, right? And I'm thinking, like, nobody mentioned anything about air traffic control.
No, so I did an arts degree in Irish and geography, and my intention was to go on to become a primary school teacher.
Just thinking,
And at the time, I had a friend who was very interested in becoming a pilot, and the advertisement came up in the newspaper. So it's a semi-state company. They advertise nationally, very much like the Guards, let's say, in terms of putting it out in newspapers, radio ads and stuff like that. So they saw the ad in the newspaper, said that they were going to apply. I said, oh, I might apply as well. And 1,800 people applied that year for 24 places. I was lucky enough to get one. And here I am.
Well, we might come back in a few moments as to, you know, what sort of characteristics and skills you need to be in the 24 out of the 1,800 to manage this job. But I imagine that's probably some of the questions from our listeners who are getting in touch in their droves. We've this voice note from Anya.
How do you deal with the pressure you must feel in your job?
Hi, Anya. Very good question.
Yeah.
So, and I like the way that Anya used the word pressure, because a lot of people will say stress.
Good point. Yeah.
It's not necessarily stressful, but it is a high pressure environment, you know, at certain times of the day or when something out of the ordinary happens. And the way we deal with it is all down to how we are trained. You are trained for a 2-year period. You're trained for the traffic situations that are presented to you, be that if you are in the tower as a tower controller or be that if you're in front of the radar screen as a radar controller. And so during that training, we throw in emergency situations, abnormal situations, to make sure the person has as much experience as possible to deal with it if it happens in the reality. And then around you, if it does happen, you have people with lots and lots of experience to call on all of the time. So it's a team environment. You know, you're never on your own dealing with that high pressure environment. You always have people around you who have a wealth of experience and are only too willing to help.
So you've got to be a real team player then for this job.
100%. Absolutely 100%.
I would have said the total opposite now from the movies.
No. Yeah.
Just shows you the faults. I'm thinking it's a real maths, nerdy kind of individual.
Not at all. Because if you think of it, like, whatever action I take with the aircraft that are under my control has an impact on the next air traffic controller when they take that aircraft from me and vice versa. So you've got to be cognizant of the impact or the consequence of your actions.
We have another voice note, Gwen, from Warren.
What airline has the worst pilots to work with? I just really annoy you.
You better not say Aer Lingus.
Thank you for that question, Warren. I don't think there are any bad pilots out there. I think they're all great to deal with. They have a job to do. They do it really well, and we facilitate them in doing that.
Yeah, we've another question from Warren too.
Do you think the film Pushing Tin is a true reflection of what it's like to work as an air traffic controller?
So for anyone who isn't familiar,
I've seen that movie.
Yeah, so if you're not familiar with it, I'm not sure if it was the 80s or the 90s that it came out, probably the 90s. Billy Bob Thornton is the alpha male air traffic controller.
Yeah.
And John Cusack is
I have, yes.
The stereotypical John Cusack role where he's, you know, sort of the romantic. Billy Bob Thornton doesn't stick to the rules in professional or personal life. John Cusack does. And they come together and it's loosely based on what was perceived to be the working situation in New York's TRACON center, so which is their air traffic control center. And really, it's a fight to see who's the better man through ATC or air traffic control. Billy Bob Thornton is the renegade. It's not like that in real life, unfortunately.
Right.
I could hype it up, but it's very, very controlled. It's very calm. That's what most people say when they come to visit the center.
Because I'm thinking Hijack, the series on Apple TV, right? I love that. Probably shouldn't say that to it.
You know, we need to be calm. We need to, like, and that's what Pushing Tin isn't. It's very dramatic. It obviously has to be for a film.
The other one that's mentioned too by a lot of listeners, Die Hard 2, is it really as chaotic as it seems up there?
Yeah, no, it's not.
Right, okay. It's all fierce calm. And
well, if you think about it, Andrea, if you're a pilot in an aircraft and you have a problem and the only person that you can speak to on a frequency is an air traffic controller, the last voice you want to hear is a frazzled voice.
Mm.
You need calmness and decisions have to be made in split seconds and you need to move from either plan A to plan B to plan C and continue to provide a really safe service.
This question is very specific to Dublin Airport, says this listener. Last Friday morning, I was in a flight queuing to take off on the new north runway to the west, but the wind changed direction and all the aircraft had to reconfigure to the opposite end of the airport and to take off from the old south runway in the easterly direction. Why can't aircraft take off from the east from the new runway? That is somebody who really knows.
Really knows their stuff.
They're met air and
meteorology. It is interesting, though. The north runway is active for just over a year now and with that comes a lot of, I suppose, technical equipment that they have to input to allow the planes to fly in and out of Dublin Airport. One of the things that's required is technology to allow aircraft to land and take off in bad weather. We don't have that system in place yet because it needs to be live for a period of time that you build up the hours of that service. It is we're seeking approval for it for the moment from the regulator.
That's the reason.
And that's the reason why we
listener wondering what training's involved.
Yeah, so we give 2 years on the most part for newbies or students when they come in. A lot of elements are included, so air law, MET, rules of the air. It's a very heavily regulated industry, so there are lots of procedures. You start with the basics of a sort of generic air traffic control and then you move into more specifics when you find out if you're going
2 years is a like a college. It's full time for the 2 years,
and it's probably more intense because you have less people on each course.
Well, I was going to say, I don't know what your life was like in college, but I imagine it's more intense than the arts degree that I did. We've a voice note in from Grace Gwen.
From your experience working in the industry, is there any weather that makes you nervous to fly in?
That's a very good question, Grace. No, there isn't, because there are limitations on everything and airlines have their limits set on what they can and cannot fly in. Air traffic control have their limits set as to what they will provide a service in. And the airports then also will have limits with regards to operating the airport safely. So it's all about safety. And in fact, I'd have less concerns getting into an aircraft having done this job for over 20 years than I would have done 20 years ago.
No, we've another voice note in from Circa as well.
Hi, Andrea. How are you? I wanted to ask a question of your air traffic controller. I have a bit of a fear of flying. So when I'm flying, I am constantly thinking about, you know, what can possibly go wrong. And I was wondering, you know, how, as from an air traffic controller's perspective, how common are near misses? Because you often see planes in the air flying relatively quite close to each other, and you know, I'd be very interested to hear from your you know, from an air traffic control perspective, how do they avoid that and how common is it? So I'd be very grateful if you could ask your contributor that question.
There you go. We can put Sirica's mind at ease,
yeah,
hopefully.
Yeah, Sirica. So it's the safest form of transport in the world. In Dublin, we provide 3 nautical miles separation if 2 aircraft are at the same level. 3 nautical miles is the equivalent of 35 times the length of Croke Park.
So that's how close the next plane is to you,
yes,
when
if,
you're in the sky.
If they're at the same level.
And if 35 lengths
of Croke Park.
Right, wow.
And if you want, if 2 aircraft want to fly over the same point, they obviously can't do it at the same level. We have to put in 1,000 feet between them. So one, let's say, would be at 14,000 feet and one would be at 15,000 feet. 1,000 feet visually is represented by the Pigeon House chimneys at Dublin. Split them in half, put half on top, and now you're at 1,000 feet.
Okay.
So that's what we have. That's the parameters in Dublin. Once you go outside of Dublin's airspace, that actually expands to 5 nautical miles laterally and 1,000 feet vertically. I would say that the systems and technology we use is at the top end in terms of providing this service. We have safety net barriers within our systems that will ring alarms if 2 aircraft are getting too close. Aircraft talked to each other. So aircraft aren't allowed to fly in European airspace unless they have a particular system on board. If they are heading for each other and we, as in air traffic control, have missed it, one aircraft will say pull up, the other will say descend, and they'll actually talk each other out of actually, you know, having that near miss. That's your last sort of barrier
of
defence.
If something,
We would rarely get to that situation. And that is due to all of the training, the skills associated with the air traffic controllers, but also the systems that we use.
How do you concentrate, asks this listener, and manage and help and navigate the airplanes? You know, is it a hard job? You're like, is it a hard job to do if you're having a bad day? Like if you've had a bad night's sleep or a glass of wine or something.
It's funny because sleep actually is very, it's a big centre of attention at the moment within air traffic control, but also in other aviation industries, how to manage fatigue. So you have a responsibility to manage your own fatigue. But if you are in position and you feel fatigued, we have to get you out of position. So we set up our rosters to which are, we try to be not fatigue inducing rosters. That's for the air traffic controllers. And then the air traffic controllers themselves have a responsibility. In terms of having a glass of wine the night before, yes, by all means have one. But know that when you come in the morning time, whatever time that might be, you could be subject to a random alcohol or drug test. That's part of the job that we do.
That's just on the job spot.
That is on the job
testing,
spot.
Testing.
Random.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's part of the license.
Another voice note in from Gavin, Gwen.
Ray, can you ask her, has there ever been a time when she felt like in a scary situation that when even she was nervous during that situation? Gavin.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah, I think every air traffic controller will have a particular event that sits in the back of their mind. And
what's yours?
Mine is when I was training in Dublin, I had an aircraft coming into land and I had an aircraft lined up ready for takeoff. I had issued the takeoff clearance. The aircraft coming into land then decided to do a go around and it went into what's known as like a piggyback scenario. So you have one on top of the other and they're both flying. So you then have to act really quickly and deconflict. It's not something that happens regularly. And in fact, since I was a tower controller, we have procedures in place that would prevent that from happening. Every air traffic controller, I don't believe you're actually a true air traffic controller if you haven't had an incident that sort of the hairs on the back of your neck didn't stand up.
Listener says, what's your day like, your normal work day? You know, can you only sit in front of the screen for a certain length of time before you have to take a break? Is it shift work? I can't remember, but they're really strange shifts, says this listener.
Yeah, and it depends on where you work. So for Dublin, the traffic flow requires us to have, at the moment, it's a 5-day roster, 5 days on, 3 days off. One night duty as part of those.
Five days on, three days off. Why is a lot? How long is the shift?
So we don't have anything in excess of 9 hours, I think it is, at Dublin. So let's say you come in at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you finish just before midnight, and the next day you start a little bit earlier. The day after that, you'll start earlier again. The last day you start at 6 or 6.30 in the morning, you go home at midday and then you're in again that night at 10 p.m. and you finish in the morning time at 6 or 6.30. So it's very condensed when you're at work. It almost equates to 4 days on, 4 days off because you come off at, you know, very early in the morning, into like 6:30 in the morning. That's considered a work day. Then you have 3 days off.
Okay.
And then you wouldn't be back in until 3 p.m. on the fourth day. So that's it. In terms of managing fatigue, it's It's maximum of 2 hours in position. Yeah.
Can you ask what age you can start the training for the air traffic controller if you're thinking of changing career? Currently in my mid-30s. It's not me. I have enough stress in my life.
19. So you have to be 19 years or older to apply, and there's no upper age limit. It's open to everybody.
Okay. I have another voice note from Daniel.
I'm just wondering, what's the age limit? I'm 40 at the moment, and if I wanted to start training for a traffic controller, is it too late or a set period?
No, yeah. It's not too late. No, there's no upper age limit.
No upper age limit. And just finally, we hear recordings of pilots talking to controllers. The radio tends to sound practically, it's hard to understand. Is it really like that, or just a little bit of guesswork that comes into it occasionally?
No, I think if it's not a trained ear, you'll think that it's kind of muffled if you hear it on frequency. So you might hear it on YouTube, or you're watching a playback and you can hear the frequencies being replayed. It might be a bit muffled, but for a trained ear, it's not. They'll pick it up.
You know what they're talking
about.
You know exactly
what they're talking about. Yeah.
Personality type.
Yeah, women make great controllers. We're very good at multitasking. And that's a proven fact. So in terms of personality types, you know, the ability to remain calm under pressure, to think outside the box sometimes if you need to come up with your plan C if you've gone through plan A and B, and be dynamic. Be part of a team. You know,
yeah, you mentioned that. The
very,
team leader.
Very, very important to be part of a team. Yeah.
Real pleasure to chat to you, Gwen. Thanks a million.
Thank you so much,
Andrea. For joining us today, because you're probably on your day off or time off, and you're your fatigue.
I'm going back to work.
Are you with us? Well, listen, I appreciate your time.
Yeah.
Gwen Morgan there, who's with Air Nav Ireland. She's the operations manager at the Dublin Air Traffic Control Centre. That's all we've time for in the show. Have a great weekend. We'll chat at midday on Monday.